Hello and welcome back. This is the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is our hand car washing business in Churchill, Tennessee, and on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate that business, and it exists solely for the purpose of giving God an outlet that we may work to earn our income, thus providing money for our family and also for this ministry. We ask for your support only in that you would come by and let us wash your car and earn our money and work as Paul did to present the gospel freely and to focus on settling the word of God, not peddling it. We invite you to the washandword.com website to find out all the information about this ministry and about this business. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And so let's pick it up in where we left off. We're in the Gospel of John. We just finished chapter 10. In our last study, and we ended by talking about how Jesus was withdrawing away from the place that he should have had the most comfort, and that is, you know, the heart of Jerusalem or the synagogues or amongst his people and the people who claim and profess to be men and women of God. Yet there he found the most opposition, and so he went away back over to the Jordan where John the Baptist would baptize, and he went amongst his other people, that is those who come to receive, those who wanted to hear the word. And we kind of equated how not much has changed in today's day and age. And people they come to church to look for peace and sanctuary and sanctity, and so often they're finding instead judgmental, hypocrite, you know, they're finding people who are very cliquish. They're not finding the life-changing power of God's word in all of its entirety. Instead, they're finding a watered-down version of it. And not only are people not going back to the houses of the Lord today, but they're actually turned off by them, and they're turned down when they show up, and thus they are turned away sometimes. But Jesus also enters the temples and the synagogues of today, just as he did back then, and those we call churches. And he enters into our churches, into our fellowships, into the body of Christ, where believers have gathered, believers who love him in faith and in deed. And he goes in expecting God's called out, chosen ones to be present. And he goes there to our churches with anticipation and with joy in his heart, to be amongst his people, like he went to Jerusalem to be amongst his people. But what he finds, sadly, is the same thing today that he found with the hearts of the people the day he walked around this earth. Those who claim to be Christians but deny them by their actions and by their words and by their belief and by the service that they offer to him. He walks into the churches of today and finds favoritism and self-righteousness and self-seekers. He finds churches that are focused on demographics set out towards the richest neighborhoods and the best age brackets. He finds instead an absolute desecration of the intended word of God, of the intended format for which it should be spoken. And Jesus walks in to so many churches today, and as he walks in, he goes, "Oh, sorry to bother you. I must be in the wrong place. I thought I was walking in to one of my fellowships." I heard a cute story about a police officer who pulled a guy over, and he was driving erratically, and he was beeping his horn, and he was angry, and he was just one of those reckless drivers, and he pulled him over, and when he walked up and he saw that the guy had the proper license and proper registration, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry that I pulled you over. I saw your fish sticker on the back of your car, and I just assumed the car was stolen. You know, the world is looking at us and wants to know, are we true believers? Are we true Christians? But friends, that doesn't seem to be much of a threat to us as Christians today. And by that I mean, when we proclaim the truth, the truthful statement that says your witness, your actions are representing Jesus Christ, you would think that one sentence would cause massive change in the church today, amongst Christians today. But apparently, that doesn't do it. And so Jesus walks into some of these places and he says, I must be in the wrong place. I think I'm going to go somewhere where I'm welcomed. And so he leaves the big churches and he leaves the churches that are focused more on money and people than on the Word of God. And the application from last study was that Jesus sought the outskirts of the religious system for peace. And I wonder how many times he's doing that today. Is Jesus still seeking the outskirts of the religious system to find people who he can call his own? I believe that Jesus isn't going into the large mega churches looking for his own. I've seen churches that are thousands and thousands strong. And I've seen these places, and there was a church, I won't call it out by name, down by where I was pastoring our church in Florida. And for 5 years, we would see mailings go out and billboards being put up and massive amounts of advertising. And I literally never once saw the name of Jesus on any of their advertisings. Boy, people were flocking there, and I'm sure they heard a message that made them feel good. But I wonder, was Jesus going there? Was Jesus attending those types of churches to find people of his own? Or rather, is Jesus seeking the humble free clinics, or the humble homeless shelters, or maybe the small places where his work is being done but not being noticed? Listen, we may not be able to change all the churches, but we can change ourselves. You know, the old proverb says, take care of the trees and the forest will be okay. And it's easy for me or anyone else to sit here and call out large denominations or call out things that are wrong in the body of Christ today, but that doesn't do any good. It's actually a cop-out. It's a cheap message, really. But I don't do it for that reason. I'm doing it because I want to call it out to your attention so that you can do something about it. You see, you only can worry about yourself, and you can only change yourself. And if we would worry more about our own personal witness and our own personal lives, if we would just work on ourselves, if I will just work on me and you will just work on you, then when we come together and we call ourselves a church of individuals living holy and righteously, well, then we might be able to be a body of believers that Jesus can feel comfortable being around. He wasn't comfortable in Jerusalem. He wasn't comfortable in the synagogues. And I just shudder to think about where we think Jesus would be today, but yet he finds himself uncomfortable there. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ as Christians, as believers. And not only do we have the mind of Christ, but the Bible says that we are to be holy because God is holy. And we also have the Spirit of God written on our hearts. And if we can get to this place where we are only focusing on making ourselves more Christ-like And we were focusing on relying upon the things that God has already given us, the mind of Christ, the ability to be holy, and the Spirit of God within. If we could take those things and bring ourselves to a place where Jesus can feel welcomed in our own personal life, but then as we gather together, a group of self-denying true believers, then that might result in a church that Jesus can be proud to enter. And listen, I've been in churches where I know Jesus didn't feel comfortable, and it's not a comfortable place to be. They may be growing in numbers, but they're not growing in strength. And I want every church to be growing in strength, because that is what God is looking for today. He's looking for believers, for congregations, for individuals who are serious about their faith, serious about the fight. And the fight is the Word of God. This is what is under fire right now. This is the thing that is being less and less feared and preached and taught. The Word of God is becoming less and less respected. And it's because we as a church, nation, and worldwide have taken it out of our services. It has become a mere accessory to our worship services, not the main point. Jesus is the Word, and the Word became flesh. So when we gather together, our focus should be 90% the Word of God, thus automatically equating it with being 90% about Jesus. Man, have we taken this Word, and we have taken it, and it has lost its power. I give you homework now. I want you to go and read Psalm 1 and meditate on it. In fact, let me read it real quick. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so for the wicked, for they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God is separating his church today. What side do you want to be on? That psalm is the essence of what God has done and is doing. He is separating the world, and he is calling out his own. And in a world where the righteous and the wicked are hardly inseparable, a world where the church and the world have so melded together, a world where professing to be a Christian no longer automatically identifies you as a true disciple, well, Revelation 3:16, because you are lukewarm and you are neither hot nor cold, I am going to spit you out of my mouth. I read a story, whether it's true or not, I don't know, of two gunmen who walked into a church and said, anyone who is a Christian is going to be shot if they don't leave right now. And only 20 people left and hundreds fled. And then the gunman looked at the pastor and said, okay, Reverend, I got rid of all the hypocrites. You can go ahead and preach now. Now, I've got good news and bad news, not for you, but for me as a preacher. The good news is I believe that none of you listening to my voice would leave under a story like that. The bad news is even when most of these teachings are over, some of you go right back to your living. Listen, time is short and Christ is coming back, and he is coming back with fire in his eyes and a sword. And friends, he came meek and mild the first time, but when he comes back, you had better be ready. And I don't mean with your Christianity light. I don't mean you better be ready with the little things you did here and there. Folks, it's time to turn our lives over and become warriors for God, to meditate on his word and to preach it in all of its fullness. Pastor, if you're listening to me out there and you have a congregation, get back to the word of God. Get back hard and wholeheartedly to it. Well, as we close today, I hope these messages are encouraging you, and I pray that you continue to come back, because I know the Word of God can change your life We'll see you over at the Washing Word or at washingword.com. You have a blessed day.